Matthew 5:38-48. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thy, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And ye, if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We'll finish in off our series on darkness to light. And this last week we celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it is only when we accept what he did for us on the cross of Calvary that we can have perfect light in this world of darkness. Jesus said, be ye perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now how many of us wouldn't give our eye teeth to be like this? Every true Christian desires to be like him. Unless we all know we cannot be like him. It's impossible for a mere mortal to be perfect, let alone be perfect like God. And we know that this is true because there's only been one man that has lived that was perfect, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So, is the Bible toying with us? How can Jesus tell the people of Israel to be perfect if it's not obtainable? And this is where we think we have the answer. We turn around and we say, ah, yes, this was for the nation of Israel and not for us. And we are right. The Beatitudes were for the nation of Israel. But throughout the writings to the body of Christ, we are also encouraged to be perfect. So how do we explain this perfect? Well, first of all, we need to read these words in the context that Jesus used them. He had just explained to the nation of Israel that they were to love their enemies. He said to them, if someone smites you on the cheek, turn the other one. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. If someone takes your coat, let him also have your cloak. Then he says that God sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. And just like God is perfect in love, so you and I must be perfect in love. If we want to be perfect lights in this world, in this dark world, then we need to have perfect love. Towards the end of Christ's earthly life, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. In John 13, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. John 15, he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. John 15:17, these things I command ye, that ye love one another. So we see this is the perfect oil for our lamps. Love is that perfect oil. The whole of the New Testament is full of love. Love is just the oil that makes our lights burn even brighter. When Jesus was asked by the lawyer in Matthew 22, what is the greatest commandment of all? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Notice love. And he goes on to say, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The problem though is we find it very difficult as imperfect men and women to have perfect love. Can you and I really have perfect love? We may try our best, but if we're honest, we may have to say that we fail on a daily basis. So how can God put this into his word? How can God command us to obey his word and then he puts something like this in there? And God says that the only way that people will know that we are Christ's people, the only way that people will know that we are God's children, is if we have love one for another. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 that if we don't have love one for another, then we are like sounding brass and tingling cymbal. You know, he goes on and he says, you may have your body to be burned, you may suffer for Christ, you might do everything that you think is right for God, but if you don't have love one for another, then you're none of his. In 1 John 4, it says that if we do not love our brother, we are not of God. And this is hard for some of us to come to terms with, because of the things that have happened in our lives, because of things that have happened in the past, because of things that people have said about us. But if we are going to be lights in this dark world, then we need to use the correct oil in our lamp. And according to the scripture, the correct oil is love. Notice verse 17 says, because as he is, so are we in this world. You see, God is love. And if we are to be like him, then we must have love in this world. But still you say, but how can I love those who have hurt me? How can I love those that have been horrible towards me? Well, it all comes down to who is controlling our lives. Is Christ in control of our lives? Or are we in control of our own lives? Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. So we see we can only love others if God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts. And how is God's love shed abroad in our hearts? Is it by trying to love everybody? Is it by trying to turn a blind eye to those things that you're wrong? No, it's by seeing others through the eyes of Christ. Think about this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As one great man said, there but for the grace of God go I. When we stop trying to love others and allow Christ to love them through us, that is when perfect love will come through. That is when we will be perfect like our Father who is in heaven is perfect. And this is why the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 7, and he says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see, Paul wanted to do good. He wanted to love. But instead of doing good, instead of loving people, he did evil. But then he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He comes to the realization that he can't do it out of his own. And then he comes out with this wonderful truth. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul came to the realization that he could not love like Christ. Paul came to the realization that he could try as hard as he wanted to, but he continuously failed. But when he stopped trying and he allowed Christ to live his life through him, then he had perfect love. And this is what Paul declares in Galatians 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is only when you and I allow Christ to live in our lives that we have perfect love. Now in closing today, I would like us to turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. Now we might ask ourselves, is love sufficient to live a victorious life? Is love sufficient to attract others to Christ? Or do we need to do more? Now in the original King James Version, the word in this chapter is the word charity. And if we take the word charity in its original meanings, it means unconditional love. So when I use love in these verses, I want you to realize that it's not just ordinary love like eros love or philia love. It is unconditional love. It is agape love. It is the love of God. So let's have a look at this wonderful chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 1 says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove a mountain, and have not love or charity, I am nothing. And though I sow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long. You see, love drives away impatience. Do we suffer from the sin of impatience? Love is kind. So in other words, it leaves no room for unkindness. Is it that we continuously to show unkindness to people? Love envieth not. All jealousy is gone. I don't get jealous anymore when someone else gets the praise that is due to me. Love vaunteth not itself. In other words, I don't boast. I don't have self-assertion. I don't say, well, I'm right and you're wrong. Love doesn't vaunt itself. Love is not puffed up. Oh, this is a difficult one. How many of us are puffed up with pride? We need to realize that love is not puffed up. Love does not behave unseemingly. In other words, all this filthy lewdness and things that are going on, we don't mix in with that. Love seeketh not her own. In other words, self is dead. I'm dead. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm not alive anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. So we don't brood over the things of the past. We don't get upset and we don't brood about those things. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. When something evil happens to someone else, we don't become happy about it, even if it is our worst enemy, because we have a perfect love of God. There's a story told of a certain man in the American War who lived in a place just outside of Philadelphia. He was a Baptist minister, and he was a friend of George Washington. Now, in the town that he lived, there was a man that was a thorn in the side of this Baptist minister. Whatever this Baptist minister wanted to do, this man was totally against everything. But it was not only that he was a thorn in the side of this Baptist minister, he was also a traitor. And he was caught for treason and he was sentenced to die. When the Baptist minister heard about it, he walked 70 miles to Philadelphia and he begged George Washington to pardon this man. George Washington said to this minister, "I'm sorry, but I cannot grant this man a pardon just because he's your friend." To which the minister replied, "But he's not my friend. In fact, he's the biggest thorn in my side." And George Washington turned around and said, "You were prepared to walk these 70 miles and beg for the pardon of your enemy? If that's the case, I have no other choice but to grant you your request." You see, this is the power of perfect love. Then, of course, we see that love rejoices in the truth. Do you rejoice in the truth? Would you rather tell the truth, or would you listen to a lie? Love beareth all things. If someone does something a little bit different to the way you do it, do you bear it, or do you get upset with it? Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these things, but the greatest of these is love. How often don't we say we love everyone? We love God, we love our neighbor, we love our family. But you know, in this dark time that we are facing with this coronavirus, how many of us are showing that love? How many of us are showing the love of God to others? I've heard so many things being said that, how could they have done something so stupid? But really, did they know any better? You and I need to be lights in this dark world. Help us not to become anxious. Help us not to become aggressive. Help us not to become like the world, afraid. Help us to live a life knowing that God is in control, and let us portray His love to a world that needs it. Let us pray. Eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this message this morning. We pray, Lord, that as we ponder upon these things, that you'll open our eyes to the truth of your word. Help us to realize that we are the children of light. We are God's children. And let us share your love with others. We ask it in Jesus' name.